seated. All right. Good morning, family. Good morning. Good morning. I trust that your weekend or this past week has been as full and unexpected and thrilling as mine was. This Friday, I had an opportunity to be at the campus devotional down in Manhattan. And what a treat. The energy there, looking at these young faces, you know, you see a room full of future hopefuls for our congregation. And I tell you, even the energy, like I walked in there, right, and even where they worship at is not a typical spot. It's totally Manhattan, right? It's got white walls, it's got some lounge couches, and then they got like these blue lights all over the place. And it's like, yeah, the photo shoot. And I'm like, yeah, this feels like you're in the city. Yeah, that feels about right. And then Saturday, I have an opportunity to be with the teens. We had our monthly devotional at Solid Rock, where the Harlem Ministry were the ones that were running the show. And their theme was to really honor the community that they're in, right? Their spiritual community. Now, we had eight teens that shared, and I think maybe two of them were disciples. The other six were not. And they were talking about the importance for them in their life, what it's like to be a part of a community like this. Because they were talking about things that their teen leaders and other spiritual moms and dads helping them in life stuff, right? Not just the spiritual, you know, be righteous, you know, don't lie, don't steal, but behavior, decision making, consequences for your actions. Like, these are things that they were being helped with, and they took the time to honor those people within their community that's been helping them along the way. And then so I was like, okay, great. I feel great. Okay, I did my part. You know, I did my Friday. I was with the campus. Saturday, I was with the teens. And then today, I thought I was going to be sitting in the pews with you guys. But unfortunately, I got a phone call from Stephen Ogoya, who fell sick. And, you know, please be praying for him. He told me, man, this is probably the worst he's felt in years. And so clearly I'm not Stephen, and this is why he's not here today to give us the word this morning. But I am. And I tell you, you know when the Spirit is moving, when nothing you plan actually is happening. And so, you know, I get this call and I'm like, oh boy, I gotta have some ready for tomorrow. But you know what? Here's the beautiful part about this, and this is what I believe wholeheartedly. What I experienced Friday and Saturday was absolutely necessary for today. It was absolutely necessary. And I wanna make sure that I leave full room for the Spirit to do what he set out to do. And so that's the goal today. But before we go on, I want to just kind of, there we go, got my picture up there. Last weekend, man, the Marrieds, woo! We had an incredible retreat last weekend. The theme was together. We had such a great time, great classes, great fellowship, and then we danced. And then we danced some more. And let me just boast a little bit about Westchester. We like to party. We like to party. Now, mind you, there was two other regions there. It was Hudson Valley and it was Long Island. But Westchester dominated the dance floor. Like, the DJ is wrapping things up. And people was like, nah, one more song. And what I walked away with, obviously, got to have a stronger marriage. I got that. But what I saw was, we need to have more parties here in Westchester. That's what we need. We need more time where we just having a good time. I'm not saying we're not having it. I'm just saying we need to have more of that, right? So I love that part. I love that. And so definitely want to shout out to all you guys that were there and those who didn't weren't able to make it. Just so you know, we do have the recording. It is on our website, and it's also, no, it's not on our YouTube page, but it is on our website. So you go to our website, it's on the sermon section. You can go ahead and listen to the whole thing. I also want to take a moment to acknowledge Sheldon and Valerie. Last week, they held it down. They led the way. They led the way and they held down. They had an incredible worship service. And I know it wasn't just them. I know that there were a lot of people who volunteered to make sure all the moving parts were in place, right? And so I want to give a big shout out to Sheldon, Valerie, and the Singles Ministry for really, right? Like, no shortcuts. It's going to be a worship service, whether married's there or not. We're going to worship our Lord. And so I definitely want to hold you guys up for that. So this morning, like I said, I wasn't really planning on being up here, but God has still given a message that I believe we need to hear. And this is the same message in a lot of ways that I gave to the campus ministry. Shayla and I were able to lead that devotional. And what we're going to talk about today is about being the salt and light in this dark world. Because I believe that because this is a dark world, we are constantly bombarded with messages of who we're supposed to be. We're constantly bombarded with what the standard should be from the world. This is how society should be. This is how schools should be. This is how neighborhoods should be. This is how parenting should be. And constantly, they're trying to redefine what God already said. And so when Jesus gathered his disciples, he had to say some things to let them know who they are. Now, I know that in this room, not everybody here are disciples. I know that. Not everybody in this room have decided to make Jesus Lord of their life. And when Jesus was giving this sermon, right, he was talking to his disciples, but you know how it is with Jesus. You see Jesus walking, you want to know what's going on. So there's always going to be a crowd. There's always going to be somebody that's like peeking the ear around the cave and, what Jesus talking about over there, right? Maybe because they're curious. Maybe because they've seen or heard some things about him and his disciples. Maybe they were there to heckle and try to disrupt what he's doing. But Jesus never lost track of who he is and what he was setting out to do. And so he wanted to make sure he transferred that to his disciples, and that his disciples would live that out so that those of you who are not Christians would see what it means to follow him wholeheartedly. So today, this is a message not just for disciples, but this is also for you. If you are on the fence, I heard this phrase by a young man who I'm gonna give credit to, Nick Delgado. He said, you know, the Satan owns the fence. And I was like, what do you mean by that? You gotta break that down to me. He said, no, because think about it. Right, God doesn't like lukewarm, right? He doesn't want you to be, you know, middle. Either be hot or cold. But if you're on the fence, you're still warm. So if you're still warm, that's where Satan is. I was like, ooh, I'm going to use that. So thank you, Nick, wherever you are, I'll use that. Appreciate that. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to look into Matthew chapter 5, verses 13. And that's going to be our main text for the day, Matthew chapter 5. 13 through 16. It reads, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and give its light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Today, I want to tell you, you are the salt. You are the salt. You know why you're the salt? Because Jesus said so. That's why you're the salt. Not because you did something incredible, like make Jesus Lord of your life. Not because you baptized an entire neighborhood. Not because you've climbed the corporate ladder and you're the first female or the first black or the first Hispanic or whatever that is. You've broke records in this world. No. You are the salt because Jesus said so. This is something you cannot let go. It doesn't matter what the world says. You are the salt of this earth. The disciples needed to hear that. They needed to take that in. They needed to make it personal. Because in a world that rejects Jesus, you better believe they're not going to be told that. You better believe that they're going to be told other things. And so they had to be convinced of this. They had to understand why they are the salt, and it's because Jesus said so. You know, the world makes many claims about who you're supposed to be. They make many claims. But let me ask you a question. How can a world who's confused in their own identity tell you who you're supposed to be? Help me understand that. If I'm lost, how can I tell you where to go? Doesn't make any sense. But somehow, and sometimes, we begin to listen. We begin to validate what the world said, and we make it our own. They make claims like, you're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not black enough. You're not white enough. You're not tall enough. You're not smart enough. And so on and so on. So many claims, and yet they're the ones that's lost. But despite what others may think about you, Jesus said, you are the salt of this earth. Despite what you think about yourself, Jesus said, you are the salt of this earth. This earth needs you. You don't need this world. You have a place waiting for you. So you don't need this place. You live here. You might pay some bills and taxes, but you don't belong here. They need you. And you got to be convinced of that. Jesus says, you are the salt of this earth. There's nearly 1 million people living in Westchester County, according to a census back in 2021. 1 million residents in Westchester County alone. You are the salt of Westchester County. You gotta believe that. You gotta be convinced of that. You gotta believe that, man, my community needs me. My neighborhood needs me. Now, I'm not talking about a need me in an arrogant way. Like, I'm everything and you're nothing. Far be it is what I'm talking about. Remember the life that Jesus lived. Nothing about his life was one that you can say, wow, he's really prideful. Wow, he's really arrogant. This is the same person who left the throne of heaven to become human and walk amongst this world. Not only did he walk amongst the world, he never claimed anything that the world had to offer. Remember when he was tempted by Satan? when he offered him all the kingdoms of the world, he didn't accept it. No, he took himself and went even below that to serve others so that they could see the light that was reflecting off him because of his relationship to his Father. So when I say you are the salt, it's not about being an arrogant thing. Well, I'm saved and you're not, and so I'm better than you. No, we're not talking about that. But I understand the value that Christ had put on me when he says, I am the salt of this earth. Now, when we talk about salt for a minute, we have to talk about the value, right? And so in ancient times, you know, the world economy was based on salt, right? Wars were started over the control of salt, right? It had you know, things that allow, because there was no refrigeration, it preserved meat. Right, all my science majors in here, your ears are perking up now. You're getting all with the periodic table. I'm not even going to go into all that. Right? I'm not going to go into all the other values of salt and the breakdown of it. But the reality is there's real significance to salt. So when Jesus is talking to his disciples at that time, they immediately understood, okay, this is something serious. Right? Now, we know that salt also gives flavor to our food. Right? And like I said, who wants to have jerk chicken and it doesn't have any jerk in it? Doesn't work. You gotta have the spice, you gotta have the seasoning, right? So we know that it adds flavor. We know that it has a purpose. When Jesus said, you're the salt, you have purpose. You're supposed to be doing something. There's a purpose for your life in this dark world. I need you to be a preserver. I need you to be a healer. I need you to add flavor. I need you to be an influence in this dark world. Why? Because you are the salt of this earth. Again, I think I'm making my point very clear that you have to understand and you have to and embrace this idea. I like to say this coin. I like to coin this phrase a lot. I may might get a t-shirt out of this, but there's no such thing as an island disciple. Each grain of salt that's in a jar is all necessary. We all need to be together. We all need each other. It is extremely difficult to be in a dark world and trying to navigate it on your own. While I was with, again, as I mentioned, with the teens on Saturday, they talked about just the value that they found in being a part of a spiritual community. All that salt being poured on them. All that salt. And it was amazing because I know that in time, this is going to bear so much fruit, not only for their lives, but possibly the lives that they're going to impact. Same goes for us. We have to be influencers in this world. We have to, because that's what salt does. Salt don't just sit on a plate and make the meal taste the same. It does something to it. There's an effect that takes place when salt is added to the meal. Now, although Jesus did say, we are the salt of this earth, there's a warning that also comes with it. There's a warning. Again, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13, it reads, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Now, I go back to salt, once again, ancient time, and how it was collected, right? Salt was collected through, you know, sea, from the sea, evaporated seawater, or it was collected in, like, these pans. Now, as it's being collected in these pans, if that pan is not 100% pure, if there's other minerals and different things involved in there, then that salt, although it may still look like salt, will lose its flavor, i.e. its value. Then it gets thrown out because it's useless. It's not going to preserve any meat. It's not going to add any flavor. It's not going to have any influence. And so when Jesus says, you know, if it loses salt and its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? You have to understand it is our responsibility to remain salty. It is our responsibility. Yes, we are part of a community of believers, and we have access to brothers and sisters that we can go arm in arm with to help us walk through these battles. But in the end, it is still your responsibility to remain salty. It's your responsibility. Demonstrate your saltiness in the way you live. This is how you maintain it. Everyday life. Not just the day you made Jesus Lord of your life. That was an incredible day. That was just like your marriage. If you're married in this room, you understand what I'm saying. The day she said I do, the day he said I do, it was awesome. But now you got tomorrow to live out. And you got 5 years to live out. And you got 10. At the marriage tree, I think the longest married couple is like 40-something years old. 47. Thank you for the correction. 47 years. Now, just because they said I do on day one, it's not a guarantee that they're going to make it to 47. You got to do things to keep it going. There are some things you got to do to make sure that marriage is strong and able to withstand the storms. Just like each and every individual in this room, you got to do what's necessary to stay salty. One thing about salt, it doesn't like a lot of water, does it? Salt doesn't like a lot of water. The more water you put on salt, what happens? It dissolves and it loses its flavor, right? And the only thing you do is add more salt, right? It's the same way. You don't want to mix your salt with impurities. That is a sure way to lose your saltiness when you're mixing it with the world. The funny thing about salt and mixing it is that over time, the salt may look the same, but when you taste it, it doesn't taste salty anymore. That's what happens when you keep mixing yourself with the world. You might look like salt because you showed up today. You might look like salt because you were singing. You might look like salt because you logged online on Wednesday. But when they taste you, it tastes like something else. It tastes like something else. So again, I come back to, it's your responsibility. When I go into my kitchen cabinet, and, you know, I got, you know, all kind of different seasoning. My salt is in one jar. It's just salt. When I grab that and I pour it, I expect salt to come out. I don't expect to have garlic in there, paprika, cumin. This is not allspice. When I grab salt, I want salt. That's what each of us should be looking like. When I look at you and when I touch you, and when I live with you and walk with you, you should be salt. I shouldn't be surprised. I shouldn't be caught off guard. And all of a sudden, you're some other season. What is this? Now, again, we're not talking about perfection, because everyone has those seasons of struggle. That's not what I'm talking about. But you know what I mean when I say you're mixing and allowing yourself to be diluted by the world. Because the thing is, you are the salt of this world. Stay grounded in your own Bible studies. I appreciate you come and you hear sermons, and we have great men and women that share their convictions. It's great. But you, do your own Bible studies. Continue to grow. Continue to allow that salt to Just keep adding more salt to your jar. Don't just wait. Don't just sit and be useless. Don't be that. Keep growing. Keep growing. You know, even in accounting the cost of becoming a disciple, in Luke chapter 14, verse 33, Jesus associated losing your saltiness with being a disciple. This is what he says in Luke 14, verses 33 to 35. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for soil nor the manure pile. It is thrown out. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Again, you are the salt, but this is also counting the cost of following him. He does not want you to lose your saltiness. He does not want you to be diluted. He doesn't want you to be mixed up with the world. Again, you live in this world, but you're not of it. And so your life and the decisions you make on a daily basis should reflect that. Your decisions should not look like everybody else or sound like everybody else. No, you're supposed to be set apart. You're supposed to be in that jar that says salt, and when they pour it out, it's salt. That's what it's supposed to look like. Confessing your sins, resolving conflicts with one another. This is how you remain salty. You don't allow things to fester. I appreciate a few weeks ago, I asked the church, use this time to resolve some conflicts in your life. Get out and confess your sins. And I appreciate listening to different brothers and sisters coming up to me and saying, man, you know what? I felt so free. We got together with some sisters. A group of us got together. We talked. We prayed. I appreciate that. But that was just that week. This should be a continual thing. You should be continually getting the impurities out of your system because you don't want to lose your saltiness. You don't want to be thrown out and be more less than a pile of manure, as Jesus put it. Stay connected. Don't be an island disciple. Stay connected to the body. That is another sure way of losing your saltiness when you go out alone. When you're out there alone, it is a surefire way to lose your saltiness. Again, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Jesus was making it very clear the necessity of who you are in this world. Just 1 million here in Westchester, 8.9 in the state of New York. Not even in New York City. This world, this city needs the salt. It needs the salt. Matthew 5:14. You are the light of this world. Once again, why is that true? Because Jesus said so. There can't be any doubt. You cannot walk not believing this. You can't live not believing that you are the salt and the light in this dark world. Now, when you think about the fact that this world is dark, tells you that it needs light. When God formed this place, it says it was dark and formless. And then he said, let there be light. From the very beginning, light was good. And today it's still true. You are the light of this world. A path in the dark cannot be seen until it is lit up. This world will continue to stay confused until your light is shining. Until the light continues to shine, the world will continue to stay confused in its own identity. In its own identity. So this world needs the light. You have been called to give guidance and direction. Have you ever walked in the middle of the night with the lights off, trying to navigate to the bathroom? I know I have, and I paid the price. I didn't want to turn the light on, so I try to navigate around the foot of the bed, kind of guess where the dresser was, and say, okay, that's where the door is. But my knee said, nope, wrong way. And I smashed it right in the foot of that bed. Again, a dark room needs light. A dark place needs light. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Our good deeds done with integrity is what is expected. That is the light that we shine. If the deeds that we do gives us glory and gives us praise, it's the wrong kind of deeds. The good deeds that we do, whether it's in-house, serving in different capacities, or outside of our community, if those deeds don't send praises to God, if people aren't praising God because of the things that we're doing, then we're not doing it right. The examples that we set is so important. The convictions you hold is so important. It is so vital that the light that is in us is shining, that we're not allowing this dark world to smother it out because of the messages it gives and the decisions that it makes. The things that for this season, this is what's trending. And then next season, it's going to be this trend. This is what's going to be trending. No, we need to stay grounded because we are the light of this world. And our lives got to reflect that. It's got to show that. You know, it's really hard. It's really hard to not see a city on a hill. You must be walking with your head down, blindfolded, to not see a city on a hill. When Jesus said this to his disciples, they immediately associated with that because a lot of those places were hilly. So they immediately understood, oh, this is what our walk needs to look like. That from miles away, it's visible, right? That they can see where we are and who we are. And so you were meant to be seen in the dark. You were meant for that. You were purposed for that. This is what Jesus was talking about. And then in my life, I've tried to remain grounded in Christ. I've tried to make sure that the things I say, the things I do, the decisions I'm making, it's all reflecting my understanding of being in the light. And again, there are times, there are seasons I struggle. There are some times, man, I'm in my pits. But that's okay. As long as I'm continuing to fight, as I'm continuing to make decisions to get me back on this path, and I'm allowing my community to help me there, then it's okay. But I know that Jesus has called me to be a city on a hill. Again, not so that I can get all the praises, so that I can get acknowledged, so that praises can go to God, so that perhaps this dark world can find a path to him the same way you and I did years ago. That's what's important, that people are coming to God. Not that they're coming to us and giving us the things that we desire. No, that it's going to God. If my sacrifice, if me, you know, making myself less is going to help you to get on the path, then I got to be willing to do that because I saw Jesus do it. It doesn't matter in what capacity I'm in, whether I am wealthy or I have a dollar to my name, it should be the same conviction, the same purpose, the same mindset. Now, when it comes to our light, there are a few things that we can do to make sure that that light is still shining. And one of those things is to be leading by example. Be the example at home. Be the example to your kids. Don't be the one that you are one way at home and you're something else in another environment. Be consistent. Well, Harry actually reminded me, he's like, well, you know, you could be consistent and not doing stuff too. I was like, you know what? You're right. You're right. So I'm going to be more specific. Be consistent in being in the light. Be consistent. Be that example. Do you understand how many people are watching you up close and from afar? I told the campus, I said, you know, well, I'll share that. I'm not even going to go there. I'm going to say that later. I'm going to share that last. But you get the point. Lead by example. Invest in relationships. It is important. I said it, and I'm going to keep on saying it. No such thing as island disciples. You got to invest in the relationships in the community, within our church family, but also investing in your neighborhoods, in your relationships to your neighbors. Because today they may not respond, but it doesn't mean they won't respond tomorrow. It doesn't mean they won't respond 2 years from now or 10 years from now. Same thing for our parents, who children are adults, but they're not Christians yet. It doesn't mean you stop being an example and you stop investing. You know that you don't stop being a parent because they're not in your house anymore. I'm learning that right now. My daughter's in college, and she calls me more now than she did when she was at home. So it doesn't end. It just transitioned to a different stage. But we still got to be able to lead that, give that example, and still be able to invest in those relationships, right? Guiding others and seeking advice and seeking guidance, right? Again, we want to make sure that we're not filling ourselves up with nothing, right? So where we're getting this guidance from is important. You want to make sure you're getting guidance from those in the light. Don't let somebody in the dark tell you where to go. Again, I've never seen somebody lost give good direction. I don't know. I mean, they might be lucky and say, yeah, you know, they were right, but chances are they're going to give you wrong direction. So you want to make sure the guidance that you're getting is those who are in the light. Now, I'm not saying no one in the world can't help you with certain skill sets and things like that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about things that matter spiritually, right? Things of salvation, things that are going to help you get to heaven. You don't want to go to the wrong source. Helping those in need. There are a lot of needs. You can look anywhere and see that there's needs. Now, it can be overwhelming when you start to count how much needs there are in this world. I leave it to this. God knows where people need to be, and he's always going to supply. But the needs that I see, that it's right in my reach, I need to engage that. I need to engage that need. Because my light is necessary in this situation. The light that I have to offer is necessary in this situation. And then lastly, testify God working in your life. Now, this is why I wanted to pause for a second, because I was talking with the campus, and you know, obviously in the campus ministry, they're on their campus sharing with everybody under the sun, right? And sometimes people look at our lives, Christians, they look at Christian lives, and all they see is what's good about being a Christian. Or that's what they hear from us. But you know what else is also powerful? When you're in your storm and you're sharing it with non-Christians. When you're you're in the middle of this fire and you're holding on to a faith and you're sharing that with them. You know why that's important? Because they want to see how you respond. And when they see that you respond as one in the light, that now creates curiosity. How is it that you are in this situation, yet you respond like that? Tell me more about this God that you serve. because I need to see this, because I'm in this dark world and I don't see it. So don't devalue sharing your struggles with those in the world, as well as your victories. Don't devalue that. That is a powerful way to letting your light shine in a dark world. So I'm about to close out, but I want to talk to those who are not Christians right now, because I know I spent a lot of time talking to those who have made a decision already. And like I said, when Jesus was preaching a sermon, he was talking to disciples. That is the truth. But it doesn't mean that you're sitting in this room and you're hearing God's word. It doesn't mean you don't have a responsibility to respond to it either way. Either you reject it or you begin to inquire more. And so I just have two questions I want you to reflect on. How can you see what's being hidden from you? And what I mean is, where you are right now, you know, you know for yourself that you are not walking in the light, that you have not made Jesus Lord of your life, but yet you're here today because someone invited you, or maybe you found us online, or whatever reason, you're here today. Ask yourself this question: how can I see what's being hidden from me spiritually? Because the world that you see right now, this physical world, is an illusion. The reality is there is a spiritual force working against you, and its sole purpose is to keep you separated from this light. That is its sole purpose. And so for you, I'm asking you to consider, how can you see what's being hidden from you? And if you choose to answer that question, the next question I would leave with you is, what steps can you take to discover spiritual truths in this world? Not your truth, not my truth, but spiritual truths. Because the scriptures say that Satan is the father of all lies. Now me, I know how to lie. I know how to tell some stories. I know how to embellish. Before I became a Christian, I was so good at lying. I lied to my mom about my grades. I forged stuff. I did a lot of crazy things. So I know how to lie. But the scripture says Satan is the father of all lies. His influence on this world and the truth that it puts out is so great. But you need to know spiritual truths. And so if you're willing to answer those two questions, honestly, then reach out to somebody who brought you here today and try to find out how. How can you get on this path of becoming salt and light in this world? And the rest of us here today, my prayer is that wherever you are spiritually, maybe you are so salty right now that your essence is just oozing with salt. And some of us might look like salt, but taste like seltzer water. That's probably possible. The charge is for you to maintain your saltiness. Do what's necessary. If it's pulling somebody aside right now and addressing some situations in your life, get it done. You are the light and the salt of this earth, and you're not worthless. But if you maintain this unsaltiness, you will find yourself thrown out and be less than manure. And that's not the hope that any of us want. So my encouragement to you is, if you're salty, maintain your saltiness. If you're tasting like seltzer water, get together, do what it takes to get that salt back into your life.